Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
So today I'm going to share with you regarding being sent or sending. Are we sent or do we send? And what's the difference? And I say in inverted commas, coincidentally, because Kelly sent me a mail and said, can Alexi share and take 5 minutes of your time? And I prayed for about 3 days about it. No, I didn't. But I reluctantly gave up 5 minutes of my preaching time for Alexi, and how his testimony just ties in perfectly with the message. And I'd forgotten that he was sharing until this morning again. So preparing yesterday, I had no idea what Alexi was going to share. And you'll see how that will tie in with what I believe God has put on my heart. But I want to share a couple of brief scenarios with you before we get into what I want to say this morning. We spent a little bit of time, obviously, in different places. And three scenarios have really touched my heart or grabbed at my heart over the last couple of months. The first one is we were walking along the side of a lake in Switzerland and got to this really beautiful spot, just leaning over the side, admiring the beauty of it, and saw a stretcher being wheeled along. And I looked for the paramedics and realized they weren't paramedics, they were actually police. And then I realized that it was a body bag and this woman was covered. She had died. But she, you know, as they were wheeling her, the part of the cover fell off and we could see that she was a relatively young lady. I don't know the circumstances behind her death, but for both Leslie and I, it tugged so much at our heartstrings and we thought, what happened? That's our initial reaction. Was she saved? Was she not? Did she take her life? Was it drug-induced? Was it epilepsy? All of those questions just flowing through my mind. And my thought is, was someone sent? Could someone have reached her? The second scenario was a couple of weeks ago in Portugal, where we met a woman who made a commitment to the Lord in South Africa, went to Ireland, but spent an 11-year period without a church. She tried to survive as a Christian, but her life was a total mess because there was no doctrine, there was no teaching, there was no training. And she landed up in Portugal in a church run by a fellow South African. We're all over the place. Thomas, welcome, fellow South African here today visiting. But so, and I looked at her and I thought, second scenario, how possible it is to change someone's life when we're there with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Third scenario, we're in a coffee shop in Lisbon, and this one really got to me because here was a girl with a little goatee beard. And we got talking to her, and I made the mistake of saying, tu es française, and she said, oui, je suis français. So I asked her if she was French, because she said she'd been in, and she answered in the feminine, and I in the masculine, and I asked her in the feminine. And then I realized she was in the process of changing gender. And I was grieved at what I perceived to be the confusion in this person's life without the plumb line of the Word of God to differentiate what's right and what's wrong. And so what I want to focus a little bit on today is, are we sent or do we send? And we're going to get to the conclusion at the end and we'll see it's a combination of the two. So let's briefly look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, what the scripture Kelly's been using as our foundation for this, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So it's the church that makes this declaration to the heavenlies of the manifold wisdom of God. It's us. It's the church. But then Paul in Ephesians 4 really builds on this theme, and he tells us what he's given to the church in gifts and what those gifts are to do. So in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. So Paul gives us insight as to what God has given the church, and then he gives the purpose. To equip the saints, turn to the person next to you and say, that's you he's talking about. Three people did that, Kelly. You're all saints. Come on, guys. So to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up, or building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, in mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're no longer children tossed to and fro by waves, but carried about by every wind and doctrine, by cunning craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, whom the whole body, verse 16, joined at and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. So that's the goal, but God gives us gifts, and He says He gives us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So these are the gifts God's given us, and you'll see those gifts coming through to a large degree in the pastoral staff that God's given you guys to lead this church. So he talks about apostles. An apostle is someone who is specially sent, someone who is very possibly a church planter. There's hardly a day goes by where Joel and I don't get into a deep, meaningful conversation where he doesn't somehow refer to either his past church plans or what he wants to do in the future. So we have on this team someone who's got a passion in an apostolic role to do certain things along those lines. And it's a great privilege to have Joel as part of the team equipping us to do the work of the ministry. We've got prophets. Well, we don't have too many prophets in the church. But I don't say this lightly, that when Suzanne gets up like she did earlier today and says something, I listen. Because I've seen in the 4 or 5 months I've been here that Suzanne has an insight frequently into things happening and sometimes into things in the future. So don't be surprised if she gets up every now and again and says something. When she does, I listen because there is a prophetic element, I believe, in her life. But also in Kelly's life, because when Kelly sometimes plays that keyboard and she starts flowing in things, prophetic things come out of her mouth. Watch for it. These are things that God's given us to equip us for the work of the ministry. He's also given us evangelists. That's again one of Joel's strengths. That's why quite often I'll hand the mic over to him when I'm done, because my gifting is more teaching. But when someone needs to get saved, I'll say, Joel, come on in. Because we all have a passion for the lost, but he's got a gift in him that he can lead people to the Lord like no one else that I know around here. And then we've got pastors and teachers. We've all got pastoral hearts. That's why Kelly has said so often, we pray for you. We're here for you. We're there to equip you in any which way. You've got a problem? Come talk to us. We're not there to criticize. We're there to help. That's our role. These are the gifts God's given the church for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And then we've got teachers. So God's given us these gifts with a purpose. Now let's quickly look at those gifts, because I don't want to spend much time on this. I've got 15 minutes to kind of get this message across. So we've got these gifts, these people that God places, yet in spite of that, every single one of you to a degree will flow in one of those 5 gifts. Because some of you are strong in leading people to the Lord. Some of you are very strong pastorally. You're out there in your work environment and someone's got a problem and they come to you and you're helping, you're assisting. These are gifts that are in a measure with everybody, but then God brings them to the forefront in people he puts in leadership in the church so the church can grow and be equipped. So we can send and be sent. So just briefly, the five purposes that Paul gives here: to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now this is clear here that the work of the ministry, we can't do it alone. As Alexi is going to reach people that we wouldn't even come close to reaching. Not even a chance. In her book, Jesus CEO, Laurie Beth Jones makes a statement. She refers to a salesman that every time he sees someone, he pictures the number 250 on their foreheads. Not 666. I see someone getting a bit concerned there. No, just not going down that road. But he pictures, why does he picture 250? Because every person on average has 250 people they can influence. You've got more than 250 Facebook friends, some of you got less, but I don't influence all of my 250 Facebook friends because I know some of them don't read my Christian posts. I'm hoping they will sometime. But we can influence so many people. There are people out there that you can reach that we'll never see them in our lives unless you bring them here. Some of them won't come here. Sometimes church is on the street. So Paul gives us these gifts to equip the saints for the building up of the body until we attain to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why have we got these small groups going on? So we can get us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. I'm going to give my small group a little plug here quickly, okay? I'm doing Bible 101 on a Thursday evening, and Bible 101 is a course that goes from Genesis creation through to making disciples who make disciples. We sit around a table, we've got a curriculum we go through, and I've run this course in South Africa several times, plenty of times. And it is a wonderful course to get to grow in your knowledge of Christ, because we take rabbit trails, we take side journeys, we obviously stick to the curriculum, but we answer questions about different things. That's also why we're doing the series next month. What does the Bible say about? Because we've all got questions. Because we need to get to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we're no longer children tossed to and fro. I looked at that girl in the coffee shop in Lisbon and tossed to and fro. And I look at people in Paris and I look at the city and I see people tossed to and fro, not knowing what decisions to make. And sometimes we in the church don't know what decisions to make. Australia's voting, I think it's this Friday, on whether to incorporate same-sex marriages. And it's a major issue. What does the Bible say about things like that? We can't be tossed to and fro so that we can bring things that are non-Christian into the church and bring things here. We've got a standard, a plumb line. Thank God for His Word. His Word is our plumb line in life. It tells us what's right and what's wrong. But how do we get, we need to grow up into Christ so we can know these, so we can be established, so we can share that with other people. I come from a relatively conservative country with an estimated 30% Christian. Most African countries in our sort of region, up through South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Malawi, we've got roughly 30% Christians, we believe, in those countries. But evangelical Christians in France is less than 2%. So we're looking at a country where people don't know right from wrong. That's why you'll see so many same-sex couples holding hands, kissing down the streets. But it's up to us as the church. And that's why we need to be equipped so we can go out there as sent people. And just quickly going on, the last point he makes there, so we can grow up in every way. And number five, make the body grow so it builds itself up in love. So God's got a purpose for the fivefold gift. But now let's look at Romans chapter 10, because this was really my key verse. Because Paul makes such a relevant statement here, which is so relevant as well to the testimony we heard a few minutes ago. Paul says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how lovely are the feet of those who preach good news. So if we reverse the order of that, we've got send, preach, hear, believe, call on the Lord, and be saved. Because he says, how can they be saved unless they've called on the Lord? Or they'll do that. How can they believe unless they've heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can they preach unless someone sends? Now that becomes our responsibility to a large degree to send people like Alexi. What a privilege to be part of this church that has been able to get him to a level of maturity in Christ that we can send him out and we can have the privilege of chipping in. It's an awesome, wonderful privilege that. I'm so excited. I had goosebumps on my goosebumps when he was sharing. No, maybe it's a South African thing. Sorry, I don't know. So we have a responsibility. God gives us gifts, number one. And number two, we then have a responsibility what we do with those gifts, whether we respond and grow up in Christ. But then the second aspect is whether we are actually going to go out there and make a sacrifice in our own lives and do some sending. I knew it would get quiet. I'm going to share a quick story with you. I brought this. Do you know what this is? This is a what? Yeah, bumbo. Okay. This is a very interesting thing. I thought maybe it was a hat at one point to put on my head or something. But this, how many of you know that this is a South African invention? This was invented in South Africa. And I want to just tell you the story about this because this has excited me tremendously. I was part of a... don't know what to do with it. Maybe I will put on my head then. Okay. A friend of mine who runs a church, I was preaching for him one time on a Sunday in Pretoria, South Africa. And he said, help me. We want to buy the property we're in. So I went along to the meeting knowing that he was renting a piece of land which had a church on it and that the piece of land next to it housed a school. And he told me the story about how the school started, and I've got very short time to finish this. But a lady who had a passion for severely handicapped children. She wanted to start a school, but she needed funding to do that. So she went around to the corporates in South Africa, tried to raise funding, and she drew a blank left, right, and center. And someone said to you, why don't you go to this man? He's a retired gentleman. Just go ask him. So she did this massive proposal, presented it to him, spent 45 minutes talking to him, and he didn't say a word, didn't even open the proposal. She got up, and as she got up to leave, he said, sit down, and a tear came down his eye. He said, God says we must do this. And he put the school together. He bought the land, which this church was on. And to tell you how much a work it was, 21 staff members for 17 children. More staff than children. That's how handicapped they were. And he made sure this building was in order. He put a fence around it. He grassed it. He did whatever. And this I'd found out. Now, this I thought was the total project. And I thought, this man is amazing. But at the break, when we were meeting on this property, whether we could buy this property or not, I grabbed hold of his sister, who was his representative at this meeting, because she'd made a comment that caught my attention. She said, sorry we haven't met with you earlier, but in the scope of the trust, this project is small. Now, for me, 21 kids being taken care of and a church building where they're charging 80 euros a month total rent for the building, this is not a small project. This is big. And I said, tell me more. And I dragged the info out of her. And this is what she told me. She said her brother had seen his grandchild trying to sit up. And he said, I can invent something to help them sit up. And after a couple of prototypes, he came up with this idea of a kind of foam rubber seat that's comfortable for a kid, but with something in the front to hold on to. And it teaches kids to sit up. He invented it. It's exported to 19 different countries. That was the figure I had a couple of years ago. But here's the beautiful part of the story. He has taken 90% of the money that he makes out of this business and given it to the work of the Lord. And he lives on 10%. And when asked why he did that, he said, God gave me the idea. And he wants to send people out to do the work of the ministry. His major project, he started an orphanage, and he's got 175 orphaned South African, mainly AIDS orphaned kids in this place. And he takes care of them from beginning to end out of the proceeds of this. Why do I want to have a business people's breakfast? Because I want to stir people up once a month. That's what that group's about, to try and stimulate ideas and creativity so we can get to do things like this. Because God says in his word, he gives us power to establish, to create wealth so we might establish his kingdom. We can't go where we want to go and we feel as your team at the bridge without you. We can't do it without you. We need you to partner with us. We know that a lot of you are transitioning through and you're here for a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. We know that's the case. But that's not the issue. Because what I believe God is really going to do, and this has been strongly on my heart as to why we are here in Paris, is that God is going to start English-speaking churches all over the place. The 21st century language of Pentecost is English. Where people will learn and be discipled, as we read earlier, in English, and then they will go out back to their different countries and their different places and be able to share in their language. Not Day of Pentecost, where they heard it in their language and went back. They're going to hear it in English, be discipled in English. But you know what? It's going to cost us to do the work of the Lord in Paris. If you Google, you'll see how few choices you have of an English-speaking church in Paris with how many? 8 million people, Ile-de-France. And so we have a ginormous responsibility. But he did say his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So it's a beautiful responsibility, whether we're in business, whether we're at home, whether we're in education, whatever we're in, we've got this amazing opportunity of, number one, being sent, because we're going to reach people that no one else is going to reach. But we have this amazing privilege to send. Now, I know strong on Joel's heart is church planting. And I know we've discussed that. Kelly is excited about that. We want to do amazing things here at the bridge. We want this to be a beacon of light, like a lighthouse. We've got this vision to do these exciting things. We're so grateful for the foundation that the Tysons laid here. Now it's time to grow. Now it's time to do things. But we need you guys to get on board with us. We can't do it alone. So we need you guys. We need as a team to support the Alexis, to do things. Kelly has talked about supporting trafficking, human trafficking. We've got some friends who are cycling. They've cycled basically from England. They're heading through the border this weekend into Spain. They've gone all the way down France. They're going to visit us sometime in October. They're going to spend a weekend with us. Maybe we'll get him to share for 5 minutes in the service as well. They're cycling on a tandem, the two of them, raising funds for a project in South Africa for the poor. There are such great needs out there. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. We need you guys on board. Come on board with us. Paris is not a survival for us. Paris is an exciting opportunity to reach people who would ordinarily not have been reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, get involved in a group. Let's get as much knowledge, as much information as we can. Sign up for a small group. Get your information levels of the word higher. Ask the difficult questions, what the Bible says about. Because I know already Kelly's told me I've got the tough ones to do. But seriously, I'm okay with that. We want you guys to get to a level of your Christianity that you can answer all of those tough questions out there. That's why we're starting a youth group, because we want the youth to know what is right and what is wrong. Friday nights we're going to meet with the youth so they can be established in their holiness and their purity when it comes to sex. So they know what's right and what's wrong, and they can have answers for the world. This is what we want to do at the Bridge, because we know there are thousands and thousands of people out there that only you can reach. We want to get our own building. That's the good news. It's going to cost us money. That's even better news, because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. So we're going to give you projects as we go along, and we're going to give you ideas of where we want to take this. It's going to cost all of us. But oh, the fulfillment that comes when we are sent and we lead someone, or we bring someone to church and they make Jesus Lord of their lives, or we see the fulfillment and we see someone we've sent like Alexi, or the human trafficking, or the other projects we're going to get involved in. And believe me, there's many. Kelly's already been talking about, we haven't been involved in enough projects. We've got to go further. We want to do that. But we want to do that together as a team. And we'll report back here and you'll see what God's doing with the money you're sowing into the Bridge as we go ahead and touch the city for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.